Good morning. It's a beautiful day out there. Some of you have been out enjoying your holiday, some of you are back, and some are still out there enjoying their holiday. It's good to have rest at least once a year or more. God wants us to take rest. He doesn't want us to work. We all need rest. It's good to see all of you today in God's place. We are here to worship Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him. I'm sure most of us during our younger days, or even now, some of you are playing games, sports, the younger ones especially. There are different kinds of games. These games and sports are competitive, but the mind games. Do you play mind games? I'm sure some of you or most of us play mind games. But when we say mind games, these are really, we have to be a little cautious. In the quiet of our enforced isolation, we find ourselves playing the game of what if. I'm sure we all have said sometime or the other, especially when we face a problem, what if? We panic and ask ourselves, what if this happens? What if that happens? What about the kids? What about my job? What about my parents? What about this, that, and that? So many questions. I'm sure we have asked these questions so many times. These questions and other questions swirl in our minds because we have never walked through anything remotely similar to this national crisis we are facing right now, an international crisis. We all know that. I'm reminded of Joshua's words of caution to the Israelites as they were about to cross into Canaan. Joshua, well, these are the words. You have not passed this way before. And none of us have passed this way before, what we are going through. This is new and frightening territory for all of us. So we should take care of this crisis seriously. It is not a bad dream or a joke or a hoax or the recap of a disaster movie. This is real, what we are going through. It is a real pandemic and perhaps the worst since the Spanish flu, which swept across the globe back in 1918. This is a time to truly let our light shine as followers of Jesus. Like a city on the hill, helping and focusing on others can literally change your perspective of the crisis. We have to be concerned and be diligent. We should not panic or allow fear or anxiety or worry fill our thoughts and grip our hearts. Because once we allow this fear into our hearts, that's the end of the story. Because so many things happen. We go off the track. At times like this, the Lord Himself gives us these hopeful words. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, we read, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. In the book of Acts, we encounter the story of Paul being bitten by a venomous snake. Just after escaping from a shipwreck, the scripture describes Paul's close encounter like this. Acts 28, verses 3 and 5. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, A viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. It's a quite interesting story. Why didn't the snake hurt Paul? It was on his hand. Suppose we are in that situation and the snake is on our hand, we panic and the snake bites us, but the snake did not bite Paul. Why didn't the venom take Paul's life? Can anyone tell me the reason? Because it wasn't Paul's time to go. In Acts 23, verse 11, the Lord himself had already told Paul that he would arrive in Rome and testify before Caesar. Paul reasoned, if the Lord said he would go to Rome, he would go to Rome. Nothing could stop him. The viper bite, the hurricane, and the shipwreck were just a few inconveniences along the way. Paul knew that. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says that believers will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now, that doesn't mean we should be swallowing cyanide capsules and ask God to save us. Or we should not be handing rattlesnakes to each other in the church and ask God, Lord, save us. That is not what I mean. And that is not what the Bible says. That would be testing God. What this passage is saying is that the Christians are indestructible until God is done with them. As long as we have kingdom work to do on this earth, we will remain on this earth. When that work is done, God will call us home. So whatever happens along the way in this journey, don't be afraid. Because others may say, it is all finished. It's done. No, it is not finished until God says it is finished. In the book of Genesis, God spoke to Abram and said, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God spoke to Abram and said, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. And in Psalm 91, verses 5 to 7, we find this promise of God to the believers. Psalm 91, verses 5 to 7. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Isn't that great to know that God's promise is always with us? It's not over until God says it is over. So do not believe anyone who says that it is over. We can live our lives with boldness and an inner peace, knowing that God is in control of everything that comes along the way. We need to be wise and cautious and prudent, setting a positive example for others. As Christians, we don't have to live in constant fear for our lives, because until the day we die, we will be in God's protective care. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Another translation says, living means living for Christ and dying is even better. There is great outlook to have in this dangerous, uncertain world we are living. Right now, there is a worldwide pandemic. Let us face it. Let us not ignore. There will be always something fearful on the horizon of our lives. It goes with the territory of life on this broken planet. This coronavirus outbreak will pass. And then it will be something else. But whatever that something else might be, we can thank God that we remain under His divine protection. God has the answer to our fear, worry, and anxiety. We need to take time to open His word and listen to Him. It's all in here. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have an account of Jesus and His disciples in a violent storm out on the Sea of Galilee. And that is what this current crisis is like. A vicious gale swooping down out of nowhere, unlike anything we have ever witnessed or experienced before. But like every other storm, it has a beginning, a middle, and the end. Are we still in the beginning phase? Possibly. But we may also be moving toward the middle. Whatever we are in the storm, wherever we are in the storm, we will come through this. Best of all, Jesus is with us. So here is Matthew's eyewitness account of what happened. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 27. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost." But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." That's a pretty good picture of where we are right now. In the middle of the sea, in the dark and in danger. And like the disciples, we cry out for fear. But what does Jesus say to them and to those men in the boat and to us today? He is saying to you and me, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And that sets the scene for one of the most amazing accounts in the Bible. Here is what happened next. Let's read. Let us continue reading Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 32. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Let's highlight a few truths from this account that will give us courage and confidence during this time of crisis, COVID-19. Back in verse 23, we read that Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Mark 6, verse 48 gives us an added detail to this story. It says, "He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them." Out on the lake, in the boat, in the storm, the disciples were certainly, they were all wondering, where is Jesus when all this is happening? The answer is, Jesus was watching. He did not leave them, but he was watching. Jesus hadn't become distracted. He was watching their every move. And I'm sure he was praying for them as well. He never lost sight of them. They may have lost sight of Jesus, but Jesus never lost sight of them. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you are all alone in the frightening storm of COVID-19 we are going through, and that God has somehow lost sight of you and your needs? I'm sure sometimes we feel like that. Nothing escapes God's attention. As Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Let us read carefully. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked as well as the good. Jesus, as he was watching and praying for his followers out in the boat, he is praying and interceding for us too. Romans chapter 8 verse 34 assures us that Jesus Christ is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he is also interceding for us. Please note the last words. He is also interceding for us. It is present tense. It is not past tense. He is interceding for us right now as we are sitting here. Matthew tells us that Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. The disciples may have felt surrounded and cut off from the Lord, but he wasn't about to let the shrieking wind or angry sea keep him away. God isn't afraid of storms. In the book of Job, God spoke to his discouraged servant out of the storm. The little book of Nahum tells us, Nahum chapter 1 verse 3, his way is in the whirlwind, and the storm and the clouds are the dust of his feet. When David was in serious trouble, he wrote about this, about the Lord's coming right through the storm to help him. So we may think there is a storm, but in the middle of the storm, Jesus is there. Right through the storm, he is watching us, he is protecting us. We may feel we are disconnected. No, we are not disconnected. He is watching and he is protecting us. Jesus was perfectly comfortable walking on the water through the darkness and the storm to rescue his men. Seeing Jesus walk toward them across the waves, why didn't the disciples recognize him? They saw him walking on the water, but they did not recognize him. Why do you think they did not recognize him? They did not recognize him because the disciples were not looking for Jesus. Their mind was elsewhere. Had they been waiting by faith, expecting him to come to them, they would have definitely recognized Jesus. Instead, they jumped to a wild, false conclusion that it was a ghost walking on the water. Sadly, the same thing sometimes is true for us. We don't see the Lord in storms because we are not actively looking for Jesus in the storm. We may know Jesus, perhaps we may know him for years, many, many years, but we will never know him deeply until he comes to us in the midst of a terrible storm. That is what Job said after all the calamity that befell him. Job said, Job 42 verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. In other words, I have heard about you, Lord. You deliver people and answer their prayers, but now what I have gone through, but now I know you. So There were the disciples wild with fear because of the storm and the dark figure walking towards them out of the night. Can you imagine the wonder and relief that swept through the boat? They were saying, and finally they said, "It is Jesus. We will be all right now." When they recognized Jesus, and they said, "We will be all right now." And then Peter did the impossible thing. He asked Jesus if he could come to him walking on the water. And Jesus said, "Just one word, come." When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." I think this sounds very familiar. Peter's words sound very familiar. It sounds just like us. We are looking to the Lord, praying, and seem to be moving along, and then we see the wind. We watch the latest news report. We hear the scary projections about COVID-19. We watch the plunging stock market numbers on the right-hand corner of the TV screen, seeing our retirement savings slip beneath the waves. And what do? Our hearts sink like a stone. Why? Why do we get swept up in fear, anxiety, and worry? Because, like Peter, we are looking at the wind instead of looking to the Lord. Our focus is on the troubles, not on the Lord. Peter sank because he was afraid, and that is what makes us sink too. Fear makes us spiral down until we find ourselves drowning in our doubts. But where faith reigns and continues to reign, fear has no place. Where faith reigns and continues to reign, fear has no place. Once a medical doctor said, "Courage uses the same pathways as fear." Courage uses the same pathways as fear. So that means we have a choice. We can let fear and nagging worries fill the pathways of our mind, or we can allow faith to fill those same pathways with courage and hope, because the pathway is the same for these two. We have a choice. Either we let fear take over us, or we fill the same pathways with courage and hope. For Peter, the first few steps on the water were very exciting. Even for us, if we can walk on the water, it is so exciting. If only we can do that. Same thing happened to Peter. It was so exciting for Peter. He was able to walk on the water. But then he took his eyes off Jesus and put them on something else, on the wind. In this case, it was the wind. In our case, it may be something else. We start to sink when we forget about God's promises to us. God has promised so many things, but do we take them into account when troubles come to us, when we are in the midst of storms? Do we remember all those promises, or do we focus on just those troubles? But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, keeping the storm in our peripheral vision, we are able to walk through the darkness. Nothing can stop us. When we have our focus on God, we can walk through the storms and nothing will happen to us. Let us reflect again on the story of the disciples and the storm. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, we read, "Beginning to sink, Peter cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" He just said, "Lord, save me." This has to be one of the shortest recorded prayers in the Bible. "Lord, save me." But guess what? And those few words worked. Jesus heard those few words, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus gripped Peter's hand, pulled him to his feet, and they walked through those surging waves towards together back to the boat. Peter didn't have time to compose a long, eloquent prayer to impress the other 11 disciples in the boat. He didn't have time to say a long prayer. "Oh, gracious Lord and Savior, I come to you in this hour of trial, beseeching you for your grace and protection." No, he didn't have all that time. He was sinking. That's why he said, just, "Lord, save me." And he got through that. Peter wouldn't have been able to get all of that out before his head was about 6 feet underwater. His prayer was short, urgent, and straight from his heart. If ever our nation was facing a wake-up call when we need to cry out to God, my brothers and sisters, it is now. This isn't a time for casual prayer or flowery, poetic prayer. This is time for urgent, fervent, storm the gates of heaven prayer that calls out to God in desperation and in great urgency. We need God in our country today. We need him to eradicate the invisible enemy. Scripture reminds us that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Let us remember that. Let us not forget about that. With God, all things are possible. In the Bible, prayer stopped storms, turned back armies, calmed the waves, healed the sick, raised the dead. Our God has power beyond the limits of our imagination and loves us more than we could fathom in a billion of years. But he won't force his way into our lives. He waits for us to call on him. During these difficult times, across our nation and throughout the world, there are millions of non-believers who are gripped with fear right now. They can't go and meet their loved ones and their families. They feel isolated and they're all alone. If you feel that you are one of them today, you don't have to be alone. Jesus is with you. Remember the promises he has given us. "I will be with you right through till the end of times." So call on Jesus, on the name of the Lord, and he will hear you and he will definitely respond. If you have any doubt, take the doubt and fear and anxiety from your hearts. He will definitely hear you. He will definitely hear me. After Peter uttered his three-word prayer, "Lord, save me," the Bible tells us immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And no matter who you are and wherever you are right now, he will do the same thing for you and me. Call on him and you will never sink. That is what Peter did. He called on the Lord and he never sank. Jesus was there to save him. We will never sink, not now and not for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to you. We want to serve you in the best way possible. We cannot do this on our own strength. We know without you we can do nothing. Our life is not our own. It is yours to work through us. Lord, we are grateful for this life you have given us. You have blessed us with different gifts and talents. Help us to understand how to cultivate these things to bring glory and honor to your name. allow us to take every experience and use it for good in this lifelong journey. Teach us to be wise and to use that wisdom for your glory. Teach us to strive for excellence in everything we do. May our actions always be righteous and our hearts always be sensitive to your voice. I ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.